Creed. And this is number 11 out of 12. So you'll be pleased to know that it's coming to an end. But Steve's going to close next week with number 12 and the Everlasting Life. But this one is the resurrection of the body, which came up nicely in the song there. But it's quite a wide thing. So I'm narrowing it down to the resurrection of the body and what that means to you and me. So what I'd like us to do is, sorry. I'd like us to read the Apostles' Creed again. It just keeps it all in context and helps us to remember what it is. I like that picture. So, okay, we could read this together, please. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Good, thank you. There's various thoughts about what actually happens to us when we die. Some say that's it. We're gone. We no longer exist. End of life, end of story. Some say our spirit comes back into another person being born at that time. My mum used to say that when she heard that someone had died and was a baby born and said, that spirit may have gone into that baby. It's a strange thing, but I don't think it's true. Some say we come back as an animal, and that's a big topic, but I won't waste time enlarging on any of these. First, we need to look at what our lives consist of. It's important that we recognize that we are made up of three parts: the body, spirit, and soul. Our body is physical, and we have the five senses. There's sight, hearing, taste, smell, and touch. Obviously, I don't need to enlarge on those. I think we're quite familiar with those. But the spirit and the soul, they seem similar, but they are actually very different. They have different functions in our Christian lives. The soul is our humanity that makes us feel emotions. It is our way to magnify God through our human limitations. The spirit is our deeper connection with the Lord. We express our love to God and Jesus Christ through our spirit. I was wondering how I could help explain that, and I thought my wife would be a good example. So I'm hoping this is going to help. I can appreciate all that she does for me, for the house, for the family. She's great at getting things done when they need doing. As soon as washing needs doing, she's there with the washing machine and does it. When we clean, She really does a good job of tidying, dusting, cleaning, polishing, make everywhere lovely. She looks after me when I'm ill, helps me when I need it. She's a good cook. She's great with the grandchildren, as you saw this morning, and so on. I can give you a long list of the things that she is good at. Don't worry, I haven't brought the other list. but that would be my appreciation of her. So she's not a bad old stick, really, is she? But what doesn't it tell you? It doesn't tell you anything I feel about her. Doesn't say how much I love her. And that's a big difference, isn't it? There's something different altogether, and that is the difference, I believe, between the soul appreciating how great God is, how powerful he is, how caring he is, how much he's done for us, his wonderful creation, his omnipresence, and so on. But the Spirit helps us to show how much we love him, which is very different to appreciating him. Do you want to come in and sit down? It's a long time to stand. You could find three seats for them, please. Lovely. Good to see you all. Hope you enjoy it this morning. We're just talking about the 11th part of the Apostles' Creed, which is the resurrection of the body. The Spirit helps us to show how much we love him, which is very different to appreciating him. Mary's song includes these words: "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour." Can you see the two differences there? The Spirit expresses our love and God's love. The Spirit is the only way to connect with God, and we can only use the Spirit if we believe in God and receive him through our Lord Jesus Christ's salvation, won for us on the cross. I'm hoping that makes sense to you. You can nod if it does. Thank you very much. I ignored all the rest. So, having explained this, the best thing we can do is to look at Luke chapter 16, verses. Sorry. It's not working again. What is it? The red one? The red one? The right-hand one? It's the right one. It's the right one. Right. Now, this is Luke. I'll put chapter 16, but I'm not sure it is now. Sorry. I put Luke 16, verse 19, but it's a lot more than that. That is correct. Good. Thank you. Okay, so I'll just read this through. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. At his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember what you, in your lifetime, received your good things, and Lazarus, in like manner, bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. And he said, "Then I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest any they also come into this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to them, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone else should rise from the dead." So, what does happen to us when we die? Jesus was teaching his disciples here and told them this story. And there's a lot we can learn from this one. First, there was the picture of the rich man living in luxury. He had fine clothes to wear and had everything he could possibly want, and he had it all the time. He had plenty to eat and he was rich. He must have had a big house because it warranted having a gate. But each day, a beggar named Lazarus was laid outside the gate. He was very ill with sores and could probably do very little for himself. He relied on people giving him food, etc., and would love to have had just some of the leftovers from the rich man's table. And he even let the dogs lick his sores. That's how ill he was. The rich man obviously didn't care much about it and probably ignored him as he went in and out each day. Jesus' story tells us that they both died within a short space of time from each other. Then Lazarus was taken by the angels to Abraham's side, or it says something, some versions, Abraham's bosom. The rich man buried and went to hell. This is called Sheol or Hades, depending on which language. There he was in torment and begged Abraham to let Lazarus wet his tongue because of the heat in the fire. Now, this tells us that we still retain our identity when we die, and we shall be able to recognize other people. Jesus continued this story with Abraham, telling the rich man that on earth he had all the good things he could want, but Lazarus had only had bad things. Now he is being comforted. And also we are told there is a great chasm between them both, and no one can get from one place to the other. This suggests that Hades is the place where everyone went before Jesus' resurrection when they died. But there are two parts. One is the safety and comfort of Abraham's bosom, and the other, a fire. The righteous go to be with Abraham, and the unrighteous into the fire. The rich man then begs Abraham to send Lazarus to warn his five brothers so that they don't come to this place of torment. Abraham's reply was, "They've had Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." But he replied, "No, if someone comes back from the dead, they will listen and repent." Abraham replied, "If they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." We are talking about life and death before Jesus came. So we see here that we would have a recollection of life on earth and be conscious of our present condition. And our present condition will either be in the fire or at peace with Abraham. So from these five things, so from this we learn five things. We will have the same names as we had here on earth. We will recognize other people. We will have a recollection of life on earth. We will be conscious of our present condition, excuse me, either in the fire or at peace with Abraham. And there is a complete separation of both. Okay, to help us understand all this, we need to consider Jesus' death and resurrection. So, what about Jesus when he died? What happened to him? He was God. Sorry. Am I? Sorry. No, that was coming a little bit later. Sorry. Sorry, what happened to him? He was God and man. And this is the time of big change. This is what is important for us to know. Luke 23, 46, Jesus said on the cross with a loud cry, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," or "commend my spirit," depends on what version. His spirit went to be with his Father. In 1 Peter 3, verses 18 and 19, "For Christ died for our sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison." Commentators seem to agree that it was his soul that went into Hades. Scripture says this was allowed by the Spirit. And while there, he made a proclamation to the rest of the souls who were captive. We don't know what he said, but it could have included that he was now in control and had the keys to Hades and to heaven. Revelations 6, verse 9. This is a revelation of John. "Under the altar, I saw the souls of those who had been killed by their faith, for their faith. John saw for himself that those who had been killed for their faith, their souls were under the protection of heaven." So there again, our souls before went to Hades, but after the death of Jesus, they go under the protection of heaven. Psalm 16 and verse 10. This is the psalmist that was led by the Spirit to write these words: "For you do not give me up to Sheol or Hades, or let your faithful one see the pit." So he went to Hades, but he wasn't left there. God brought him out. So Jesus was not left to spend much time in Hades, but he brought him out to be reunited with his spirit and his new body. In summary, Jesus' soul went into Hades, but was restored later to be reunited with his body. He was not left there, but overcame the power that was keeping the other souls imprisoned. His body was laid in the tomb. The disciples and the women all knew where he had been put when he was taken down from the cross, but he was not there when they came to the tomb. His body did not suffer corruption or decay. He was reunited with his body and spirit. His resurrection made a complete and dramatic change in the world, as far as our future is concerned. He descended into Hades and released the captive righteous souls who were in Abraham's bosom and took them with him to heaven. Paul, in his letter to the church at Ephesus, quoted Psalm 68 and verse 16, so 18 rather, "When he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men." And this was the psalmist giving a picture of him being ascended on high, leading the captives out of Hades. Up till then, Those who were righteous when they died went to Hades in the bosom of Abraham. And look, we're looking forward to the promised sacrifice for a savior who was to come. When Jesus died, that sacrifice was paid. The resurrection of Jesus is our guarantee of salvation if we fully trust in him as our savior. Therefore, he is the firstborn of a new race raised from the dead, the first fruits of the new future for mankind. Therefore, no longer do we go into Hades, but straight to heaven to be with Jesus. That's our souls. The body is still in the grave, but that comes later. When a new baby is born, what comes first usually? It's the head, isn't it? We're waiting eagerly for July for our fifth grandchild to be born. And the doctor said, I hope you've got your bag packed because the head's getting a bit low. It's supposed to be July the 5th, but we'll see. Anyway, the head comes first and then the body immediately afterwards. And this is the picture of Christ releasing the dead from Hades, taking them up to heaven. He's the head of the church, and we are the body following immediately afterwards. Now, this story is about Stephen, and I'll read this. Now, when they heard these things, they were enraged and ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. And Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and he said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep. And Stephen had been talking to all the leaders at the synagogue and telling them that they were no better than their forefathers who disobeyed God and killed the prophets. And now they have killed Jesus. This upset them so much that they rushed at him and stoned him to death. But before he died, he said two things relevant to our talk today. First, he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. So the spirit went to be with the Lord Jesus. And then, Father, do not hold this sin against them. And then he died. And that was an important statement. His spirit went straight to Jesus, and there was no doubt about his love for God. He was stoned to death because of his love for God. And they laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. He was consenting to his death. But that statement, do not hold this sin against them, also referred to Paul. He was consenting to his death, but Stephen released him from the guilt of his sin along with the others. And one commentator suggests that Saul could not have been forgiven for that sin if he had not been released by Stephen. What difference that made, that Paul was a central figure in the church to come. Our citizenship is in heaven. But to be a citizen of any country, you need a passport to enter. The resurrection of Christ is our guarantee of entry, paid for by the shedding of his blood on the cross. So, in conclusion, the body dies, but the soul and the spirit do not. The body will be resurrected at the second coming of our Lord Jesus and be reunited with our soul and our spirit. The new body will be like Jesus. It will be without sin and corruption, and we will live with him for eternity in the way that God intended in the very first place. Praise the Lord. So, hopefully, you are now a bit clearer as to what happens when we die. It is something to look forward to, isn't it? As we will be with Jesus and with lots of people we know in heaven. There's much more, but that is to be continued next week. Over to Okay. Are you all happy with that? Oh, good.